Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a Rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's five-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show,
one of the big things, and this is a huge takeaway I want everybody to get, every single tissue in your body has stem cells. Okay, you have infinite capacity to regenerate, but we have to have the right kind of epigenetic triggers to tell your body to do the job.
Stem cells act upon inflammation, and belly fat is really inflammation. So even if my body wanted to regenerate those tissues in my spine again, it's just getting siphoned, taking care of other problems.
And they're using your own cells that are, again, extracted from your blood, your bone marrow, and then put through a centrifuge, and then they're replicating processes your body would use in the laboratory setting.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield here, and I gotta tell you, from these Regenokine treatments to edible phytoplankton drops to NFL players traveling to Europe for stem cell injections, it seems that stem cells themselves are kind of like this hot new topic in the recovery and the sports and the anti-aging scene. And You know, I had a little bit of an experience with something kind of like stem cells when I was a young, bright-eyed hip and knee surgical salesman. And I remember I worked for this company, Biomet, and we would do this thing after the surgeries called platelet-rich plasma, or PRP injections, which were just like brand new back then. And this involved collecting the patient's blood and then spinning it in this little centrifuge to separate the what was called the platelet poor plasma and the red blood cells. And you'd wind up with this fluid that was really, really rich in what are called platelets. And you'd re-inject that back into the area where the surgery had occurred to speed up healing. And then later on, this PRP process started to become more popular for things like tennis elbow and knee pain. And I remember I got to the point where in one of my personal training clinics, I was so infatuated with this stuff and its ability to speed up healing that I partnered with a physician and bought like this giant centrifuge to take patients and clients' blood out and then re-inject it to speed up healing. And a lot of people are doing these kind of procedures these days. But compared to even something like PRP, this idea behind stem cells and stem cell injection and stem cell therapies and stem cell supplements and stem cell supporting foods, this is a whole new topic. And so I wanted to get an expert on the show for you today who really knows a lot about stem cells and really a host of other health issues. And his name is Sean Stevenson. Now, Sean, if you're a podcast junkie, is someone you may recognize. He's actually the creator and the host of a show in iTunes, one of the top health podcasts in iTunes called The Model Health Show. And Sean has studied biology and kinesiology. He founded the Advanced Integrative Health Alliance, which provides wellness services for a bunch of different folks and organizations around the world. He's been in Men's Health Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, ESPN, Fox News. We have hung out together down at Paleo FX in Austin, Texas, and he's a really good wealth of knowledge. And as you will see in the photo, if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/model health, that's bengreenfieldfitness.com/model health, where you can get the show notes for today's episode. Sean owns a relatively impressive set of abs, so you can check those out, ladies. So anyways, Sean, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Oh, man, so good to be here, Ben. Thank you so much for having me on, man. And I'm slightly embarrassed, but, man, I would love to just travel around with you to have you introduce me, man. You make everything sound so cool.
Yeah, that's right. I can make anybody sound amazing by just listing off all the magazines that someone has been in. Or their six-pack.
Men's Health Magazine.
That's right.
Runner's Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter's yep. Magazine.
We all know that anybody has made it once they've been in those mags.
That's right. Sure. Man.
So stem cells, dude. Yeah. How'd you get interested in stem cells?
Yeah, this is really, you know, I feel that for somebody to really be passionate about something, it's something that they have to go through personally, you know, and see it firsthand. And to hear that story that you shared, man, I had no idea about that. That's fascinating that you were into that stuff and actually doing those procedures. But for me, I don't know if you know about this, but when I was, so this was right around the age of 15, almost 16 years old. I was a two-sport athlete. And at this point, when I was 15, I was running like a 4.4, 4.5, 40 already and really looking good. College is looking at me. And I was in track practice running a 200-meter time trial. All right. Mm-hmm. This is just me and the coach and the stopwatch. And while running this time trial, coming off the curve into the straightaway, I broke my hip. So
you just broke your hip just running?
Yes.
Really?
No trauma, nothing hit me. And so when I went to the physical therapist, what they told me was that, oh, you pulled a muscle and the iliac crest just kind of broke off with it.
Right.
That's interesting. But nobody stopped to ask how it happened.
Like an avulsion fracture.
Exactly. And so looking at the picture, it was just like, you know, there's my bone kind of off in space. And what was so interesting about the situation? So first of all, you go through the standard of care, which is typically ultrasound, get some NSAIDs, stay off the leg. And especially when you're that young, you've got the hormones of a mythical beast, you know, so you're going to get better fast, you know.
Right.
So I got better. But again, nobody stopped to ask the question, how did this 15-year-old kid's hip break? This is usually reserved for people who are much, much older, you know, 80s, and also typically happens more often to women. So that could have been an indication of maybe there's something off with hormones or some kind of deficiency or whatever. But again, nobody asked that question. So fast forward, 4 years later, I'm finally diagnosed with a degenerative bone disease / degenerative disc disease, where my spine was just literally deteriorating. And I don't know if you knew this about what happened earlier on in my life, man. But so this is when I'm 20 years old and I get diagnosed with this condition. And what brought me in to see the physician was this radiating pain going down my leg, which a lot of people know as sciatic pain. Mm. And it can be different degrees. You know, it's on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm hitting probably just on average moving around a 5. But when I would stand up from sitting or laying down, it would be a 12. You know, I get this like electric shock that would shoot down my leg. And it literally put me in a state to where I was afraid to get up. And so fast forward that story, 2.5 years go by. And first of all, Ben, you probably love to hear this. So when I saw this physician, I asked him, and I don't know if this was like my future self jumped into my old body and asked, I said, does this have anything to do with what I'm eating? And he looked at me like I was straight up on crack, right? He's like, this has nothing to do with what you're eating. As a matter of fact, and he went on to tell me, you know, he's trying to be compassionate, but he said that this is just something that happens. You got dealt a bad hand, and this is something you're going to have to deal with. And he proceeded to write me a prescription to eat some pills, but what I was eating outside of the pills didn't matter, you know? And so that never really did sit with me.
So these are just like anti-inflammatories?
Yeah, so just typical NSAIDs. And one of them was Celebrex, which, by the way, I don't know if people know this, like Celebrex, 87% increased chance of having gastrointestinal, like major meltdowns. So we're talking like ulcers, internal bleeding. It's really bad news, but it made me feel relatively good, you know, and just the kind of getting around phase, you know. And so also like a 37% increase incidence of cardiovascular events from taking Celebrex, you know. So a lot of these drugs, they don't come without big potential problems. So anyways, fast forward the story, and here's where the good part happens. 2.5 years go by, I see 4 or 5 other physicians. I try some everything from, you know, the medication to physical therapy to, I even did a decompression therapy where they would put you on a table and like separate your body, you know, like separate your hips from your back. So really? Sort of like a magic saw trick, but without cutting my body in half.
How do those work?
It felt amazing while I was there, but just within hours, the pain would be right back because it's not changing what's going on biomechanically.
Well, no, I mean, like how do they even physically work? Is it like something that's attached to each of your limbs, pulling your limbs apart or?
So what it was is there was, you lay on the table and you lay face down and it's kind of like a corset they'll put on you and they'll strap your hands and then they'll pull the table down. So you hold on and then the corset kind of pulls your lower body away from your upper body.
So it's kind of like an inversion table, except it's horizontal.
Exactly. And the theory behind is like your disc will supposedly fall back into place.
Right.
You know, I had 2 herniated discs at the time too. So,
yeah.
But the good part of the story, I made a decision to get well. And most people never actually do that. You know, it's just like, I hope I get better. I'll try. I kept banking on the next physician helping me. And I never did really take personal responsibility for my own health. And that's really what happened. And so I put a plan in place. And there was 3 major components of the plan. Part one was changing the way I was eating because I'm in college. So I'm eating like Papa John's every day. You know, McDonald's, if I can get up in time. But now I just heard, I don't know if you heard this, McDonald's has 24/7 breakfast now.
Really? That's convenient. But aren't they doing kale smoothies now too? So that's always
an option.
Yeah,
whatever, man. It's smoking mirrors.
I don't know where the kale comes from.
So, you know, and I'm like jamming, you know, soda and all this stuff. And what really happened with the degeneration in the first place is I was just in a state of chronic. And when people talk about like acidosis, it's not really what you think, you know, your body's constantly working to keep that balance, you know, so it can leach minerals from your tissues, you know, in particular your bone tissues, in particular your hips and spine, because your body really works on a hierarchy of needs. You know, your body kind of gets like a biological tunnel vision. If it has to clot your blood and it needs calcium to do that, it's going to do that first rather than maintain the density of your bones. Mm-hmm. You know, it's trying to keep your, you know, foolish self alive for a little while longer to try to get the problem together. And so I changed the way I was eating and I just simply stopped eating fast food because that's what I knew how to do at the time and started shopping at like Whole Foods. And this is like going on 20 years ago. So it's like super new here. I'm in the Midwest. Yeah. So I was the only person shopping in the store, and they made like maybe a couple of major league athletes and like a random old guy with a tie-dye shirt on.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You're in Missouri, right?
Yeah, man. So it was like hardly anybody there. Now it's packed every day, which is really incredible. And so I just upgraded the food I was eating. Instead of eating a fast food burger, I was using like grass-fed beef and swapping out the bun and eating more vegetables, eating a lot of, I mean, drinking a lot of water, just really basic stuff. Mm. And then the second part was movement. And this is really important in the conversation about stem cells as well. So we'll come back around to that. So I started moving again, and your body requires movement in order to heal itself, which you know. And then the third component was sleep, you know, and that's really where the magic happens. From all of these things is the most regeneration and positive hormone secretion, enzymatic repair happens while you're asleep. So fast forward the story, 6 weeks later, lost like 28 pounds because, of course, I got fat just sitting there playing video games for 2.5 years and eating Papa John's. And so I lost a lot of weight, and I was still in college at the time. So people saw this transformation and started asking me for help. And that was really the birthing of my career. I shifted over my course of study in college. I started working with my professors, fellow students. And since then, man, worked with a couple hundred thousand people in one context or another with this work. And what really changed the game for me, and so this was probably about 9 months after the initial getting better, I went in and got a scan done. And this was my final physician that I saw, that the last guy that I fired. And he put the scan up for me to see, and he's just shaking his head, like scratching his beard for like, well, he didn't have a beard, just scratching his chin. It seemed like an eternity. And he said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. I haven't seen regeneration like this before. And so I had them telling me this was not possible. How did I do it? How did I regenerate the tissue that they said was impossible, in particular the spinal disc? And so here's where the stem cell conversation.
So it was the disc that seemed to regenerate or the bone?
Both. So my bone density increased, but also it was really for me, the major pain point was my spine, you know, like that was what was really tearing me down.
Yeah.
And so the disc, and it's called degenerative disc disease. So degeneration in clinical terms today, what is changing a lot, that basically means you can't get it back, which is just totally not true. And so this is where the conversation goes to, with stem cells. And so I dug in and found out, how did I actually do this? And the reality is every single tissue has a capacity to regenerate, but it requires growth factors to be present. And you have stem cells inside every single tissue in your body. So if you want to, do you want me to talk a little bit about the different types of stem cells?
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to hear a little bit more about the science behind this.
Okay. So basically, there's four major types of stem cells. The first one is totipotent stem cells. And so this is as soon as the egg gets fertilized when cells and the cells start to divide. And if these cells are extracted, they could potentially grow a whole person with them. And this is where we're getting into some of the ethical boundaries, you know, and people concerned and, you know, and picketing and saying they're creating people, you know, they're growing people. Like the Matrix, you know, that scene where there's all these people getting harvested. And it's that kind of idea. But we can come back and talk a little bit about that because it's not really like that.
And those are called totipotent stem cells?
Totipotent stem cells.
Okay.
Then we have pluripotent stem cells. And these are located inside the blastocyst. And these have the elasticity and the intelligence to basically become any part of the human body. And then from there, we move to multipotent stem cells. And these are a little bit more specified. Generally, the multipotent muscle cells, for example, create muscle only. And these are the stem cells that science is most excited about right now. And then, of course, we have the adult stem cells, which these are essentially like multipotent stem cells, but they are located in a specific area, local areas of the body only. So stem cells for your bone marrow and your hip are only going to be located there. Mammary stem cells are only going to be there in mammary tissues. Neural stem cells will only be in neural tissues. Okay. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody's got all four in their body at some point.
Yes. If you've ever been born, then yes, you've had all these things happen. But as you grow older, the totipotent, the pluripotent and totipotent stem cells are no longer really a part of your makeup. This is just while you're in development.
Okay. So like in your embryonic phases, that's when you'd have this totipotent and you said it's the multipotent is the other one?
Pluripotent.
Okay, so totipotent and pluripotent would be two types of stem cells that you'd find in like an embryo.
You got it. You got it. And so this is actually pre-embryo for the totipotent. So pre-embryo, what that means is, let me give a really great example of how this actually works. Because so we got into a really ethical debate about this, you know, as a society, and not hearing the bigger story, which is this is generally the result. And of course, there's probably some weird, freaky crap going on where people are like making sheep people or whatever, you know, and doing all kinds of weird genetic experiments. But people who are doing stuff right, this is a result of people infertility, you know, people who are working at a fertility clinic, and they're taking more than just one shot by fertilizing one egg. They're doing multiple. And so if they get something to basically flower and get the baby going that can be implanted, then they've got these leftovers. And so what happens is they can be stored up to 10 years, frozen for 10 years, and then they have to be displaced. Or they can be donated to a couple who can't conceive, or they can be donated to science to be able to figure out better ways of conception or regeneration for stem cell activities. You know, so this is what it is, kind of a result of a different practice. It's not people just going after and getting people's eggs.
Okay, gotcha.
Which I'm sure it happens, but that's generally not how it happens.
So like when a couple is getting fertilized, there's one egg that takes that becomes the embryo and the baby eventually that couple has. And then they've got all these leftover eggs that now are those eggs fertilized?
Yes. Okay. So they're fertilizing, they're trying to get as many as possible to give them the greatest amount of chance to survive. So yeah, okay. These are fertilized eggs too.
And then you would harvest these pluripotent and totipotent stem cells from those. And that would be something like when you hear about like a football player injecting stem cells into their knee to rebuild the cartilage in the knee, that's where those stem cells would come from?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. So if we take this a step further, so we move out of the pre-embryo phase, then we get into the blastocyst, and then we get into, you can also extract stem cells from the amniotic fluid, the placenta, and this has to be through consent, and also the umbilical cord. So this is post-birth, and then the mother can donate the placenta or the umbilical cord and get access to those stem cells, which have incredibly powerful regenerative ability, which we could, of course, talk about in a moment. But a lot of times, man, it's sort of like what you're talking about. And one of the things that I've been fascinated with is stem cell prolotherapy. And it's also known as bone marrow prolotherapy. And so this is basically where you're extracting that person's blood, their blood, and then putting it through a centrifuge. In particular, there's another practice that you mentioned at the beginning of the show where you actually heat the blood to a certain degree, and then put it through a centrifuge, and then inject it back into the person.
That's the that's the Regenikine, right? Or the Orthokine.
Exactly. But the most effective one is going to be administered with a well-trained physician, where they're actually going and extracting from your bone marrow itself, because the bone marrow is like the factory where your stem cells are getting produced, like the big factory. Like this is the big, Ford tough factory where they're producing all the big major cars. And then there's like little shops throughout the body where they're making smaller automobiles and whatever. I hope that example makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So basically, if somebody has, let's say, like a moral issue and believes that any egg that's been fertilized is conception, right? And maybe you're killing something. If you were to harvest stem cells from that, you can also achieve similar effects from either taking blood out and heating it using a process like this Regenikine process, or better yet, actually going into your own bone marrow and getting stem cells from your own bone marrow?
Yes, correct.
And it has to be your own blood and your own bone marrow, or can it be somebody else's?
If you think about this, man, this would be ideal, wouldn't it? You know, because when we talk about, so let me just share a couple of really fascinating things that I came across when I got better and I was trying to figure out why I got better. There was one story that I saw, and this was a guy's, His name was Paul Halpern, and he was a jockey, right? So he's like a horse jockey.
Right.
And he was feeding his horse, and his horse, quote, accidentally bit his finger off, right? And so you can see these pictures on the line, and you could put them in the show notes. It's crazy. And so his finger got bit off to the degree that
I can see that happening. I've fed horses before and they can get a little messy.
Yeah, it could chop it right off. And so his insurance company was really pushing for it to get completely amputated because of the potential with infection and things like that. But he obviously didn't want to lose his finger. And he had the finger, but they couldn't get it to reattach. And so what they did was he went to a physician who was really on the cutting edge of this stem cell, different types of stem cell therapy. And they fitted his finger with a mold and they filled that mold with pig bladder cells. Okay. And these pig bladder cells, obviously stem cells, but they're abundant in collagen and the growth factors required for your body's own stem cells to do the job. And this guy straight up regrew his finger, including soft tissue, nerve cells, skin, and even the fingernail. He regrew all of it. And a lot of people don't know about this stuff.
Are there pictures of this somewhere?
There are pictures of this. And back in the day, I remember seeing there was a segment on Oprah, you know, Dr. Oz. And there was another guy that had his finger. I think he was like trying to, you know, playing wood shop at home or something. There's an old guy and he sliced his finger off. And same thing, you know, he did the same treatment. This has been done.
And they regrew them like a lizard's tail.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to find this story and put a link to it in the show notes or some photos. Okay. I see it. Yeah. On Huffington Post, man's finger grows back thanks to pig bladder powder. I'll link to this in the show notes.
This is just a small part of the story. So let's take this even bigger right now. And what we talked about earlier, like, would it be ideal that it's your own blood? So let's talk about organ transplant. You know, if somebody needs to have a heart transplant, you have to wait for somebody to die, which is kind of messed up in and of itself. You know, it's like, I wish they hurry up and kick it, you know? And then you can also get into weird situation like, well, these movies where you get somebody else's organs and you're having their dreams and you're like wanting to date their wife, whatever. Like, it just gets crazy, right? And so on a real deep scientific level, organ transplantation, your body is automatically going to resist it, you know? And so you're going to have a probable immune system response. And this is why oftentimes people have to go through chemotherapy, you know, basically destroy their immune system so that they can take this organ, which that doesn't sound like a good idea. And so what's been done now, man, I don't know if you know about this yet, but they're literally growing organs from people's own tissues. They've already done successful bladder transplants by growing somebody's bladder in the lab in just 8 weeks.
Yeah, they've done this with isn't it like an ear as well? Regrown an ear?
There's pretty much nothing that hasn't been touched by this yet. You know, they're growing valves for the heart, and they're just getting more and more effective at this. And they're using your own cells that are, again, extracted from your blood, your bone marrow, and then put through a centrifuge. And then they're replicating processes your body would use in the laboratory setting.
Okay, you know? So with these procedures, Sean, are these just basically like flying under the radar? Like you got to sign up for some kind of like a university research program and be a guinea pig test subject in order to undergo a procedure like this? If, say, your knee is completely shot and you've done everything that you want to do and you don't want to get a knee replacement, or are these procedures that somebody could go to a clinic and have and pay to have done?
Yes, they are. Yeah. And it's growing now in the United States. Some stuff is not exactly legal, but there are ways that people are going around that legally in the United States. You could find clinics that do it, but they'll just call it something else.
Which ones aren't legal? Just the human embryo ones? Like are the bone marrow and the heating the blood cells, are those legal?
I only brought that up just to talk about the stem cells and, you know, one of the different places they come from.
Right.
The real science and the most viable thing for us is working with, you know, this centrifuge process and injecting your own cells back into your body.
Okay. And that's legal or illegal?
It is legal.
Okay. All right.
But again, not everywhere in the United States is it accessible yet. So people can, of course, hop online. We've got every resource at our fingertips, and you could find therapists who do these different procedures. And a lot of people are going out of the country, as you mentioned, because it's full on legal in different places in Europe. You know, a lot of professional athletes, for example. But there are workarounds that physicians here are using right now, and especially in organ transplantation, that is wide open, you know, for people to use stem cells to grow organs.
Okay, got it. What would be an example of let's start with this Regenikine or this Orthokine process of taking your blood out and heating it up and getting it reinjected. I've got a few questions for you about this. Where could someone go? Is it just certain states to have something like that done?
You know, man, I do not know. I don't know exactly which states this is going to be accessible at, but I do know that there are physicians that are doing it here in the United States for sure.
Do you know how much it costs or anything like that?
That is the question right there. It's kind of expensive right now. And this isn't necessarily going to be covered with a standard insurance plan. That's one of the big reasons why it's not as accessible. Of course, you have to go through the FDA testing and all these different things. But as you know, and I know you talk about on your show, this is big business, man. And like finding a therapy that actually, quote, cures people's issues in a really, really strong way after one treatment, that isn't a good cash cow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So well, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, for example, now. It says, as of July 2012, and this is for the Regenikine treatment, it says it costs about $7,400, and that's not covered by health insurance to have that one done.
Yeah, that's a pretty penny for the average person.
That's a chunk of change. What about the bone marrow one? Do you know if that's like more or less or easier to find or harder to find?
It's a little bit more accessible, but man, bone marrow is painful. Like that's some painful stuff.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I've gotten that platelet-rich plasma. When I used to have that centrifuge, I did it to myself, and we had a few other people who had it done. And like, you think you just get something injected and the pain just goes away, but like, it can keep you up for the entire night afterwards with like teeth gritting pain because it causes an inflammatory process. That's how PRP works, is all these platelets get injected into the joint and it reinitiates an inflammatory process, very similar to like a cortisone injection. And, you know, it's like you re-injure the joint all over again, but times 10 for quite some time. And in many cases, you got to go back in for 6 to 8 additional injections. And so every time you go back in, it's another like lost night of sleep pain. I mean, in some cases, you only need a little bit of an injection, like around, say, like tennis elbow or something like that. But if you've got a full-on knee that you're injecting into 10 different sites in the knee, it's a process. I mean, it's painful.
You see, this is why you are Ben Greenfield right there, man, because you do that stuff to yourself. I can't even imagine. And I hope everybody's hearing this, man. This is why you're so good at what you do, because, you know, you put this stuff in play and see what happens. And we all get the benefit. So, you know, so this is kind of an external treatment and something that's really interesting. And there's a lot of different areas that it can be utilized. And we can come back and talk about that, you know, as far as anti-aging, as far as skin health, things like that. But
what, you mean the stem cell stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Really? Interesting.
But for me personally, you know, in my own experience, it wasn't through surgery or it wasn't through some type of an external intervention. I did this through food. I utilized the power of my body's own stem cells through certain types of foods. And one of the big things, and this is a huge takeaway I want everybody to get, I mentioned this earlier, every single tissue in your body has stem cells. Okay, you have infinite capacity to regenerate, but you have to have the right kind of epigenetic triggers to tell your body to do the job. And so one of the big issues with healing and why I got better, one of the reasons I got better so quickly, was I got rid of a lot of the belly fat I was carrying around, because stem cells act upon inflammation and belly fat is really inflammation. So even if my body wanted to regenerate those tissues in my spine, again, it's just getting siphoned, taking care of other problems. And so I asked the question, what is my spine actually made of? You know, when I really looked at, okay, if I'm going to get better, I've got to figure this out right now. And it was like stuff that I'd never thought about or even heard of, you know, so like sulfur bearing amino acids, polysaccharides. One of the big things that you often hear is calcium, but what form? Silica, magnesium, these things biologically transmutate and become new tissues. And I wasn't getting any of that stuff. You know, I was eating Fruit Loops every day.
The stuff that you just mentioned, like those would be supplements that you take, or you're just getting those from straight up food?
So those things I was looking at, okay, I was actually dating a girl who's a chiropractor when I first kind of had this healing experience, turnaround with my health. And she took me to Wild Oats, which led to the Whole Foods. And I was taking like a bunch of supplements at first, but I had this thing about taking all these pills that was kind of it didn't feel right because of my experience previously, where I was pretty close to being addicted to pain medication, you know, during that process. So I was like, where can I find these things in food? And that's really where kind of everything changed. And I really dug in there. So one of the first foods that I started to add in was aloe.
You mean like aloe vera?
Yeah. But I would get the full on big dinosaur tail and I would fillet out the inner gel from that. And that gel, in the research I was doing, it was found to increase the production of human fibroblast cells like 6 to 8 times faster than normal cell production. Right. And so I just started to fillet that up, throw it in a smoothie and get that into my body. And fibroblasts, by the way, make collagen, make glycoproteins, make elastic fibers, the things that my disc were made of. And by the way, if you look at it, and I know you've probably talked about this a little bit too and how interesting it is, but there's not really a solid science behind it, but the doctrine of signatures, you know, and that gel, basically what that is everything in nature will tell you what it's good for in the human body based on the way it looks, smells, or tastes, or how it functions. So blueberries are good for your eyes. Walnuts are good for your brain. It looks like a brain, on and on.
Yeah. Avocados are good for your testicles. Celery for erections.
All of that. Yes. Cucumbers, same thing.
Yeah.
And so now if you look at the gel from the aloe vera, it kind of looks like the gelatinous stuff you would think your meniscus might look like, the disc in your back in between your vertebrae. And so it's also loaded with polysaccharides, the sulfur compounds that I was looking for, all of this stuff. So I started to throw this in there. Another thing that I came across, this was a little bit later on, and it didn't really play a big part in my kind of healing story, but it's been something that I've recommended a lot clinically, is colostrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use colostrum, but primarily for the gut. That has application for joints as well.
Absolutely. And this is, so here's the thing. Again, stem cells are located in every tissue, but they need growth factors for them to do anything. Basically, first of all, we didn't really even talk about what stem cells are. Stem cells basically are root cells. They're cells that can become anything your body needs. And of course, they get more specific as we go down from the totipotent to the adult stem cells on what they can actually do. But they can't do anything without growth factors. Colostrum has 87 growth factors, all right? And this is including IGF-1, growth hormone, on and on and on. And what's so interesting also is the fibroblast growth factor that it actually has in colostrum. And this supports new blood vessel development, wound healing, neural development even. And also clinically, it's been shown to have a 22% increase in the circulation of stem cells from the consumption of colostrum.
Wow. That's crazy. And this aloe vera gel, I mean, a lot of people are going to like scoff when you say, or we say, you know, walnuts are good for your brain because they look like a little brain, or avocados look like ovaries or testicles, so they're good for that. But I mean, like if you look on PubMed at aloe vera, there's actually some interesting things on there in terms of increases in something called SCF, stem cell factor, when you expose tissues. And it looks like what I'm looking at right now is an in vitro test, right? Like a Petri dish test, but basically the ability of aloe vera gel to actually cause an increase in these stem cell factors and stem cell formation in a laboratory setting. So we're not just talking about the fact that gel looks like what you might find in like a vertebral cushion. There's actually some science behind this as well, which is super interesting. And I don't have the studies pulled up in front of me, but I've seen similar studies regarding colostrum and stem cell formation and these growth factors, right? Like not just insulin like growth factor, but a ton of other growth factors that colostrum can help out with, because it's supposed to help a baby cow or a baby goat, right, or a baby human grow into a big one.
Right, exactly.
So aloe vera and colostrum are two things that can help out with stem cell formation, even if you don't have like $8,000 to shell over for an injection. What else? What are some other things?
Awesome. So I think you mentioned earlier the marine phytoplankton. There's a little bit of data on that as well. Chlorella as well, a chlorella growth factor.
Really?
But one of the things that I implemented and that I found in the studies early on, and the marine phytoplankton is relatively new to me at that. I mean, I've been using it for maybe 7 years, but this was like 16 years ago. And so spirulina was one of the hot things at the health food store. And I was like, okay, so how does this stuff work? Of course, it's the, you know, the highest ratio of protein of any food that people know about 71% protein by weight. But there was a study that was funded by the National Institute of Health, and it actually looked at how spirulina promotes stem cell genesis. Okay. So it literally promotes the creation of stem cells. So not only do you just have stem cells in all your tissues, but your body can make more of them. And it's just so fascinating. And so I'm jamming spirulina. I was putting that in my water. I was putting it in my guacamole. I was putting it in smoothies, just getting that stuff into my body. And I know, again, that that helped to kind of add to that fire. And by the way, I got to mention this too. The Adult Stem Cell Foundation actually endorsed colostrum because it was shown to stimulate the release of adult stem cells from the bone marrow. Because it doesn't matter if you have the stem cells, they have to get mobilized, they have to circulate to the right place, and you need the growth factors. Mm. You know, so that's kind of the secret formula right there.
Have you ever looked into the difference in terms of efficacy with something like phytoplankton versus like spirulina or chlorella?
I have not. I mean, I know a bunch about the nutritional content of both, but not comparatively.
Yeah.
You know, especially as far as stem cell production goes, you know, with the marine phytoplankton. I mean, if you just, that stuff is so oily, mm-hmm. that's a huge indication of like these really rare fatty acids that it contains. And it's pretty much got everything ever that is in there. And of course, it's going to be at like fraction of a percent, but every nutrient that we know about is in phytoplankton. That's where all life comes from.
Yeah. Well, chlorella and spirulina are primarily freshwater environment
right.
species. And I know phytoplankton, you know, I had a guy a while ago, like a couple of years ago, and I interviewed him about phytoplankton and how they harvest it from seawater. But I think the primary difference is it's much, much smaller. Like it's a single cell organism. It's, yeah. You know, spirulina and chlorella are algae. Phytoplankton is like microalgae. And so apparently the absorptibility is higher with something like phytoplankton. And I mean, from my experience, phytoplankton is also typically more expensive.
Yes.
But I would hazard a guess. And again, I haven't seen much of the research. I would hazard a guess. Phytoplankton probably does an even better job than chlorella or spirulina, just based off some of its properties as a tiny, tiny living organism. But I would say, you know, best case scenario, you probably are rotating both through your diet if you're injured or if you need to, you know, do something like, you know, fight degenerative disc disease or some of the things that you were working against.
Exactly. Yeah. I totally agree with that. But it's one of those things where it's might not be cost effective for people. You know, and this is, I really like the approach of stacking the conditions in your favor,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing as much of this small stuff as you can to get the result that you want.
Yeah.
And a big part of this story, even as I'm talking about some of the foods that have clinically proven viability for really helping with healing and stem cell production. And so for me, it was regenerating the disc in my back. And I actually went from degenerative disc disease, you know, I was diagnosed with the disease and told that this was incurable, to regenerating that tissue, you know, because I gave my body the raw materials it needed to rebuild me. You know?
I know that we're going to get some comments from people just because this inevitably happens, who might call you out, dude. And we'd be curious to see, like, I don't know, photos or evidence that you regenerated this stuff or that anybody has done something like, you know, regenerated spine or increased bone density or something like that by using food or supplements. Do you have that kind of information anywhere?
I do, man. I have to have it, but you're calling me out, bro. It's all right. You know? Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is I actually lost a half of an inch in height and I regained half of an inch. You know, and of course that can go through the course of a day. You can lose a half of an inch, you know, but this was actually looking at the juiciness, we'll say the juiciness of the disc in between the vertebrae and my spine. You know, I regained that. Mm-hmm. And also the two herniated discs retracted on their own. Whereas for a lot of people, they're just, we want to get out of pain so badly that we'll just opt for surgery. And we got to understand surgery is not like a small thing, you know, like this is a trauma. You know, and you're increasing your mortality rate like 50% just by undergoing surgery. And especially with back surgery, you can be guaranteed you're going to have another two or three surgeries at least.
Yeah. Let's say, for example, that you strained your hammy today I would imagine you'd probably be using some of the things that we've already talked about, like colostrum and, you know, some other stem cell regrowth supplements. But what would you, you know, what would be some other protocols that you would incorporate, whether like, you know, juicing or smoothing recipes that you use or specific injury rehabilitation protocols that you've found to be particularly effective?
Awesome. Well, the first thing I would do is probably not pull my hamstring in the first place, you know, but I actually, maybe I think it was about 2 years ago, I did snap my hammy. That was one of my, it's so funny you would bring that one up because after that, that initial injury with breaking my hip when I was a kid, I snapped my hamstrings, like either one back and forth about a dozen times before I made it to college. And I've even got game film where I'm like breaking away and running to the end zone and I'll snap a hamstring and nobody touches me and I just fall, you know, or limp and drag my leg into the end zone. Like I was just breaking down so many different muscle imbalances and I was just made out of hot garbage, you know, like that's one of the most powerful things about your show and what I do is giving people the power to really understand, like I get to make my body out of what I want, you know, like you can make your body out of the most powerful, sustainable, real foods that have existed throughout humanity, or you can make yourself out of like gummy bears and Cheetos, you know, and you get to pick that.
Yeah.
You know?
And not only that, not only are you what you eat, but you are what you eat ate, right? So if you're eating whatever, a steak from a cow that was fed commercial grain versus, you know, an organic grass fed cow, that certainly has implications as well.
Absolutely. It does, man. And you know, a big part of this, and when I thought about the jockey story, mm-hmm. There was a study that was done, and I saw this really early on as well, that was done on horses. Because if a horse breaks a bone, a racehorse, like this is potentially worth, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars to their owner. So they don't want that to happen. So to increase the bone density of the horses, they were giving them supplements, you know, namely calcium supplements. And in this particular study, they found that when they gave the horses supplements alone, there was a negligible increase in their bone density. However, when they walked the horses and gave them the supplements, they had a significant increase in their bone density. You know, so that movement is important in your body assimilating and utilizing all the stuff we're talking about. So me pulling a hamstring, or even if we take it a step further, you know, if it was more of a significant injury, I would say definitely something that's, again, instead of just being like an airy-fairy thing, but clinically proven to actually mobilize and what that means basically is driving stem cells to where they need to go. It might be something like acupuncture, you know, so doing some needling in that area or acupressure, but in particular acupuncture. And there's some stuff out of Harvard that's actually showing the efficacy with acupuncture and stem cells being closely related. So in their kind of like what they call is the organizing center network and how they all work together with your nervous system. So I would probably do some acupuncture if it was more of a significant injury. I would definitely add in the stuff we talked about, the aloe vera, the colostrum, things like that. But then I would do some topical stuff. I do topical magnesium for sure. And I probably do that multiple times a day. What else would I do? Some anti-inflammatory. So really great one is curcumin, you know, which is coming from turmeric. That one's fantastic, fantastic anti-inflammatory properties there. What else would I do? I would probably do some cryotherapy. Probably add that into the mix. After a little bit of time, I would do some self-massage first, and then I would probably go get some massage therapy done after a little bit of time just to kind of break up any weird cross-linking or scar tissue that might be trying to build up. Because a big problem with the hamstrings is when they heal, they always kind of heal a little differently, you know, and build up scar tissue.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what I do.
Now you have, and I think I've seen this on your website before, you have like a special juice that you drink, like a healing juice. Am I correct? Or a tea?
Yes, it's a tea. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know, I get my juice on, man, but I'm more of a tea connoisseur.
And when do you drink this tea?
So I'm always experimenting like you, but not injecting myself with, you know, I'm not doing that, man, but you know, I'm always experimenting and trying different things with my diet and nutrition. But the latest phase, it's probably been about 2 months since I was doing this, but for probably about 6 months, first thing in the morning I was doing, and I'm not really a big fan of coffee, not the benefits. I think the benefits are phenomenal, but just don't like the way it tastes that much. So I would use like a denser tea. So something that was a really strong caffeinated tea, like Pu'er, for example, or just a black tea. And I would brew that. And like with pu'er, it's actually a fermented tea. And it comes in these little bricks. So mm-hmm. and then you put it into your little tea maker, your little stainless steel tea ball it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that sounds appropriate. But and then you know, put the hot water on there. And so I would brew the tea. And then in the blender would go, I'm a really big fan of ghee. Mm-hmm. Butter bothers me a little bit, you know, the dairy just doesn't jive with me. So I love the ghee, and I put a little MCT oil in there, but then I stack it. So I'm adding medicinal mushrooms most times to these drinks. So I'm opening up capsules of cordyceps, reishi, lion's mane, you know, so chaga.
Yeah.
And so getting all those benefits in there as well. And usually it'll just be one or two of those. I don't put all of them in there. Maybe a couple drops of some English toffee stevia to sweeten it up, add the tea in there, blend it up, and then that's my daily drink.
It's amazing. I love it. I'm a huge fan, not necessarily for the stem cell regrowth properties, but more for the immune boosting properties and some of the stress reducing benefits of this whole medicinal mushroom approach.
Yes.
I've got this big chunk of chaga that I just brought back from Finland.
So awesome.
And what I did was I ground it up and broke it up with a hammer and a knife and then boiled it. And after boiling it, you can save the liquid, but then I've got all the little boiled crumbles, and they're upstairs in my alcohol cabinet right now, because I basically just stuffed them all into this vodka bottle. So I'm making this dense alcohol infusion of chaga extract. And if you look up chaga, I mean, it's got some amazing like terpenes and sterols and all sorts of stuff that are super duper useful for boosting your immune system. So
just Google chaga and cancer and just have a field day on looking at that stuff. It's crazy. But what I'm finding with like chaga and reishi in particular, dual extraction, you know, because certain things are going to be pulled out through the alcohol, but other things aren't, like the beta glucans, for example. So hot water extracting. And so whenever I play with this stuff, I try to do both, but mainly I do the alcohol extraction myself if I play with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great, really great companies out there if people aren't like, you know, hunting mushrooms. Like, again, that's why you're Ben Greenfield, you know? And so this is a really great practice because number one, the big thing with, in particular, reishi and chaga, clinically, so there's about a 330% increase in your NK cell activity when you consume reishi mushroom. So, and what that means is like your natural killer cells. So it's basically, and the way I like to look at it is like your immune system is getting trained
you
know, to basically build a weapon against whatever weird nefarious thing you're up against. And in the Chinese medicinal system, so reishi is a mushroom that it works on your shen. So it's like your quote, spiritual energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the stuff that works on the qi and the jing. But this mushroom in particular, what that says is it's a tonic. It's something you can take over time. It's going to just keep building up the benefits. You know, there is no like overdose, like something like maca, for example, you probably don't want to take that all the time. You know, that's why I love the medicinal mushrooms.
Yeah. They're super duper interesting. And you'll love this little anecdote if you're doing like hot water extraction of mushrooms, because you get all this like mushroom meat left over, right? Like all these chunks of mushroom. And one thing that you can do is you can take like a good organic, like a heavy cream or a yogurt or anything that's cream, even like a full fat coconut milk. You can stir some of that into the meat. And then add like a nice stevia, like whatever you like a blueberry stevia or a chocolate stevia. And then you add some glutamine or some peptides or some collagen, like anything that has a little bit of a thickening type of effect. And when you stir all this together and you eat it, it's like eating a blueberry or a chocolate pancake. The texture is just absolutely amazing. I just figured out this little recipe a few weeks ago. It's a real, if you use mushrooms, if you get into like this hot water extraction of mushrooms and you got these little chunks left over and you don't want to stuff them into a vodka bottle to make an alcohol infusion, you can just eat them with this little recipe. Super
That's
duper
so
tasty
smart,
stuff.
Man.
Yeah.
I never thought about
it's
that.
It's like addictingly good. So anyways, we've got all these different things that we can use to enhance our ability to create new stem cells. Are these things that you do like every day? Do you reserve them for when you get injured or sick are they something that you would recommend someone use if they've got like degenerative disc disease and then stop using once they've healed themselves? I mean, what's your protocol with this stuff?
Awesome question, man. I'm a big fan of cycling everything, you know. I mean, there's a couple exceptions, you know, like medicinal mushrooms, even, but still I'll even cycle those. But I'm a big fan of cycling everything, our food, our nutrients, because how we evolved, we wouldn't have access to this stuff all the time. And this is where it's kind of like, we are world citizens now, you know, the world has changed, but just honoring as much as we can without stressing ourselves out, our body's natural cycles. And no, I'm in the Midwest, so we're moving to the fall now. So my food choices are probably going to be closer into alignment to what nature would be providing now. So, you know, so the squashes and the pumpkins and all that good stuff. And with that said, I do tend to, I'm a big fan also of preparation, you know? So mm-hmm. if I know I'm going to be traveling, for example, I'm going to do some stuff to kind of fortify my immune system beforehand, you know, maybe the week before. And so I'm going to start taking the chaga with the curcumin, the turmeric combination. So I'm going to go ahead and start popping some of those. I'm going to go ahead and start upping my vitamin C content. In particular, I'm a big fan of camu berry.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was another one of the big things that I use. And a lot of people don't know this. Yes, vitamin C is great for your immune system, but it's also important for regenerating tissues. You know, and there's studies done showing that vitamin C speeds the healing of tendons and also collagen production.
Yeah, there is. World War II surgeons used to give this to their patients after surgery, vitamin C, to help regrow tissue. I've seen, and I recently talked about this on a podcast, where very, very high doses can potentially cause some issues, not just gut issues, but potentially even in very, very high doses, vitamin C can act as a pro-oxidant. And that's one of the issues. I mean, you know, I know that Linus Pauling, for example, brought a lot of really good research to the forefront when it comes to vitamin C. But megadosing, I'll be honest with you, I'm not on the megadosing bandwagon. I generally, if I'm injured, I'll use about 5 to 6 grams of vitamin C per day, split into smaller doses, because you can only absorb so much at any given time unless you're doing like a, you know, like an IV. But I'm personally kind of careful with the vitamin C megadosing.
Yeah, no, you're right in the same range as me. You know, I'm not pushing it too much. But one of the big things that really jumps out for people if they know about pushing it with the vitamin C is the vitamin C flush, right? So your bowels will just empty out if you take too much, you know? And so that's kind of an indication to me that your body doesn't want you to take too much. And then Linus Pauling, like you mentioned, is just like some of the research saying you can't take too much, just keep taking it.
Yeah.
And I like to err on the side of like, what is my body actually saying to me? So right there with you on that one, man.
Yeah.
So let's see. So really stacking these conditions together, you know, so putting these one right on top of the other is really the way to go, in my opinion, and cycling things. What I would do for most people is really just keep an open mind to what's going to be appropriate for you and learning about stem cells today. So everybody's not going to go and rush. And I know people listening right now, there are people who are dealing with chronic pain. There are people who are dealing with degenerative disc disease, and they're hearing this and they're like, I knew that there was going to be a way. You know, there are people who are, you know, they have fractures. There are people who have issues with their skin, which we maybe can still talk about. But just understand, this is one option that you can dive into, is getting stem cell therapy done at, you know, actually at a facility, you know, by a physician. Or you can stack conditions in your favor, like I did personally, internally with your nutrition, with your movement. And also, you know, understanding, I think that a big part of healing is just remembering that you can get better, you know, because it can be so tough and things can seem so bleak and dark when you're in pain, you know. And I remember right when I made the decision to get well, you know, that last week before that, it was the darkest time. Like I was rock bottom and I kept having this thought in my head, like, it's been 2.5 years. I can't possibly get better now. Why am I even thinking about it? You know, I just need to let it go. And people who do that, have that attitude after 10 days of being hurt, you know, please understand, if you're alive right now, if your heart is beating, your body has the capacity to do so much, you know, and it's just really about stacking the conditions in your favor. But it really starts with a change in your inner game, you know, because you can eat the best food in the world, the greatest nutrition, but if your mindset is crap and you're, you know, just totally in disbelief that anything positive can happen, you're just going to make everything hard on yourself.
You know?
So I just want to kind of throw that out there. I don't know why I felt compelled to say that, but just understand there's so much that you can do. And this is why I really appreciate the work you do, man, is providing all this information for people to put in action, but you got to put in action.
Yeah, it's the same thing as if you've been around like a bunch of sick kids, right? Like when my kids get home from school and my wife tells me that someone's been going around the school, I can think myself into getting a scratchy throat or the sniffles. Yeah. Like just by thinking, great, I'm going to get sick. But at the same time, it works in reverse. Absolutely. Yeah. And if you believe that, you know, and again, this is going to sound woo-woo, but if you believe that you're taking care of yourself and you're using, you know, let's say, aloe vera gel and phytoplankton and colostrum, and the whole time you're also thinking, hey, my body has the capability to heal itself. The body has this unique knowledge, and it actually is an intelligent machine that can regenerate. That's going to help you a whole lot more than if you're, whatever, taking aloe vera gel, colostrum, and phytoplankton and thinking, you know, marking the day 6 months from then that you're going to get surgery, right? Like it's just, two different ways to approach it. Sean, you've got a podcast, the Model Health Show, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes if folks want to listen in. But last kind of fun question that I have for you, man, what's been one of the more interesting or intriguing or enchanting episodes that you've had over there?
You know, just like you, man, my shows are like a masterclass, you know, on whatever the subject matter is. So there's so many great ones and great moments. But the one I tend to get the most, like if I bump into somebody, you know, out on the street or somebody sees me at the gym that, you know, if I just bumped into people out there, the one that I hear the most about is the episode I did on water. And it was called Water and Hydration Masterclass. And in that episode, I really broke down this whole phenomenon called water. You know, like we tend to think that water is just H2O. You know, water is H2O. It's just kind of an inert substance. And it's just some random chemical, you know, that's in a liquid form and we drink it. We need to drink a lot of it. But clinically, if you were to consume just pure H2O or have that injected into your body, that can kill you. You know, it's a drug. You know, H2O in its pure form is a pharmacological product. Right? Water doesn't function like that in nature. It's H2O. Water is known as a universal solvent. So it's H2O with other things dissolved into it. You know, so that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg with the conversation and what things need to be dissolved into your water, what kind of structure it should have, where should your water be coming from, the problems with our municipal water supply where, you know, we've got dozens of studies showing that right now, if you're not like tapped into a well and into well water, most likely, the water that you're consuming that's coming through your faucet, is coming through your shower, that you're bathing in, that you're drinking, that you're cooking your food with, most likely that water has traces of chemotherapy drugs, statins, antidepressants. All of that is now making its way through the hydrological cycle. Or, let me take that back, that's kind of the outer perimeter, but more of a direct thing from runoff and getting into your water supply. And our current forms of treating water aren't able to take that stuff out. But the experts say, you know, it's trace amounts, so it's not a problem. We don't know that yet.
Yeah.
You know, so what can you do to actually ensure that your water is safe and it's really bringing more life to your body? Because you are water, you know, so that's the foundational thing. And like to wrap this whole story up, even with me, when I found out like the disc in your back, so shout out to the people out there that are dealing with this. They're non-vascular. So what does that mean? Basically, hydration doesn't get there directly. It's through a process of remote diffusion that your disc actually get hydrated. It's one of the last places to get. This is why you do get shorter through the day. Like your body's just like that moisture is just kind of getting sucked out of your spinal disc. So please understand, you have to be so hydrated that your body has enough to do everything else, and then it's going to get to your discs. So if you want to heal and kind of jazz up those discs in your back, you've got to really make sure that you're hydrating yourself adequately on a regular basis with the right kind of water. So it's a long answer to one of my favorite episodes and one that a lot of people talk about. So that would be the one, man.
Was that somebody that you interviewed or was that just you talking?
Yeah, that was just me. So okay. I think we maybe do the same thing where I do, some solo shows. I do about a 50-50 ratio.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I didn't know you were such a water nerd, but I grew up, my dad was a gourmet coffee roaster. He got very into water when I was at a young age because he realized the effect that different types of water have on the flavor of the espresso or on the brewed coffee. And now he actually travels around the world setting up farms with like a structured water systems, right? Like this whole idea behind Dr. Gerald Pollack's research at University of Washington into the exclusion zone, the easy zone water, and how cells can actually become hydrated in a different way. And, for example, the growth of a farm animal, in his case, it's just farmers and dollar signs, can be affected by the status of their hydration and also the type and specifically the vibrating frequency of the water that they drink. And so, I personally, Sean, I drink well water, but even my well water, I structure that as it comes into my home through like this central home structured water unit, because even that, after it passes through like the bacterial iron filter and sits in the pipes of the home, it's still kind of sort of dead water. So yeah, I'm on the same page with you. I'm a woo woo water nerd myself. So, and I get laughed at sometimes about water. People are, "That's just H2O." I'm like, "No, it isn't."
Yeah, man, definitely isn't. We definitely need to talk more about it, man. I just moved to a new house and everything was perfect. And I didn't make a big deal out of the water because, my wife would be like, "It's just the water." Even though she knows how I am about it. Yeah. But the guy who, the seller of the house, he was like, "And it's on a well," and it's just like time stopped.
Yeah.
And it was really a huge, really a great fortune to be able to have access to that kind of water. But at the same time, like you said, I still do some cool stuff to the water to make sure it's really super hydrating because, man, your dad just sounds like awesome too. I want to talk with him. But water is so different, even how it can hydrate your cells. There's these protein structures in our body called aquaporins that kind of determine what size molecules are, like the total dissolved solids in your water, how that's going to actually get hydrated and integrated into your cells. Just because you drink water doesn't mean it's going to go where it needs to go, So this is why all this stuff matters. And again, we can geek out on this stuff all day, man. So,
And it's one of those things that comes back to bite me whenever I travel, because I end up spending about $30 on water for a typical like weekend bout of travel, because I go buy like the good mineralized glass bottle stuff or find out where where the local spring is sending its water. And it turns into a little bit of a spendy affair, but man, it's worth it knowing that you're not drinking birth control pills. So, Sean, I'm going to link to your show and your vast body of knowledge, your blog posts, your podcast, everything like that over in the show notes for this episode. And also everything we talked about at Orthokine and Regenikine and PRP injections and aloe vera gel and all that jazz. So if you're listening in, you can go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/modelhealth to check out the show notes. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/modelhealth. If you leave a comment over there, either myself or if I can twist his arm to do it, Sean will reply if you have some things that you were unclear on, and we'll set you straight and help you out. So, Sean, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Hey, man. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I really do appreciate it, Ben. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, folks, this is Ben Greenfield and my guest, Sean Stevenson, signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Have a healthy week.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.